Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. On her MySpace page, my guest Sam Phillips says her favorite hobby is trying to make order out of chaos. She says most of the time it doesn't work. You'd never know it from listening to her music. Sam Phillips has a healthy respect for the craft of songwriting. Her words are impeccably chosen, and her musical arrangements are meticulous without sounding overproduced. Sam Phillips' new album is called Don't Do Anything. It's the first record she's produced on her own without her ex-husband and longtime collaborator T-Bone Burnett. The legendary producer's absence hasn't hurt Sam Phillips' reviews. Kurt B. Riley of Pace Magazine writes, on Don't Do Anything, she succeeds beautifully by doing nothing more than being the best possible version of herself. Today we get some wonderful performances from Sam Phillips. Let's start our World Cafe session with the tune Sister Rosetta Goes Before Us.
Strange things are happening every day. I hear the music up above my head. Oh, the side of my heart has left me again. I hear music up above. Secrets are written in the sky. Looks like I've lost the love I've never found. Though the sound of hope has left me again, I hear music up above. Standing in my broken heart.
That Sister Rosetta Goes Before Us. Sam Phillips is playing live for us today on the cafe. I was reading up as I want to do, and one of the kind of quotes I found, which I thought was really kind of interesting, Sam described that you as a child had a fascination with fundamentalism, and I thought that was an interesting way to put it, and I say that because there's a song on this album that seems to be about Amy Semple McPherson, who was a really powerful, I mean, huge fundamentalist preacher in the Los Angeles area.
She was not only that, but she was one of the first tourist attractions. She predated, you know, Walt Disney.
Really?
She camped out and made an auditorium where she did illustrated sermons, so they would have, you know, motorcycles and cars on stage and a big choir. But she also did a lot of social work, taking in unwed mothers, feeding a lot of people during the Depression. She was the first woman to have a radio station, you know. so she was quite something. She was a little bit more than that back in the day because, you know, I guess, you know, religion, it was sort of a gathering place. It was more of a tourist stop or attraction, a pastime. But yeah, I think some kids do drugs and rock and roll. I loved music from the time I could, you know, walk and talk, but I also was really interested in spirituality, and, you know, a Pentecostal meeting would come to town, so I would just go watch, you know, or I would go with my friend to, you know, her New Age meeting or what. It was fascinating to me. Still is fascinating to me, and I think I identify most with the mystics of every religion. I don't believe in every religion. It's a little too open. It's very hard to be that open-minded because they, you know, obviously, but I do think that the mystic people are more, they're not about rules. They're more usually asking the question, what does love require? And I think that's pretty much in a nutshell what I believe.
But when you first made records, you made them for a quote Christian label, and my understanding is that there was a lot of line towing involved with that didn't
sit
well.
It was it became propaganda and business and unfair business, and really, if you wanted to grow as an artist, there wasn't the opportunity to do so. And I wasn't I didn't want to bully people into believing anything. I just, if anything, I wanted to inspire people and make them ask questions, and that wasn't popular. And at first, they wouldn't let me out. So I said, well, guess what? I've had sex outside of marriage, and I'm going to tell everybody if you don't let me out of my contract. And they said, okay, you're out of your contract, which is, it's ludicrous. It sounds crazy. But, you know, I was, 22, 23 years old, and that seemed to matter in that world. So, you know, there we go.
Sam Phillips is our guest. Her new album is Don't Do Anything, and she says that it's not a political statement of any sort. What do you want to do next?
I'm going to do a song that I wrote sort of affectionately about the domestic dreams we seem to put on ourselves and on each other, called Little Plastic Life.
Outside the domain of your effective powers, I had a little plastic life. It was a souvenir from a place I'd never been, on a trip I'd never taken. I kept it to remind me. I detected fire in myself before the flame burned it up to the ground.
Sam Phillips with Little Plastic Life, and that's Eric Orfain on that amazing-sounding electric guitar. Very
We've
cool.
We've got the smallest amps in the world, I think, over there. They're little, about the size of a cigarette pack.
But they distort well. So
we're all about distortion without the volume. I don't know why.
They, you have a kind of a list of influences on this album, which is a wonderful reading on your website. And one of them is labeled time, and I sort of my interpretation of that is really what it is age. And there's
really?
And there's certain songs on here that you couldn't write until a certain point in your life. That's interesting.
You know, and I always have thought that every time, you know, a young sensation comes along, I think, well, yeah, they're so talented. What are they going to be like in 20 or 30 years? You know, better, worse? You know, I love Bob Dylan for still playing and writing songs, and I love that. I think I so admire him for that, because he could have easily quit, you know, a long time ago. And I think he has gotten better in a way. And that's, you know, sort of the blues tradition and really just real musicians. And I've never wanted to be a star or to be a celebrity. I've always wanted to just be able to go out and present a record and promote a record enough to keep doing this, to keep writing and singing so that I can get better. So that's, you know, it's kind of my aim. And I think there are things that you can't do until you reach a certain age. I feel like I'm a late bloomer. I feel like I'm just getting into to doing what I do best.
Well, you grew up in Hollywood, or at least in Southern California.
In Los Angeles.
Which is not that usual. A lot of most people move there, you know. Mm-hmm. How is, speaking of this search for fame, which is, boy, a lot of people's vision of what that whole city, you know, is about. How has your view of Hollywood changed over the years? Or your place in it, I suppose, would be a better way to put it.
I think it just makes you steely. I think you just block it out. Makes me more determined to survive and not to be, you know, about being famous, because it's also very short-lived, and there's always a backlash. What goes up must come down, you know. So, but I think I feel so lucky to be able to make music, and I felt very lucky to work on the Gilmore Girls TV show for 7 years. That there's no greater challenge than trying to put music to picture. That's difficult. That is definitely one of the advantages of living in Hollywood, to be able to get the opportunity to do that. And I found that very challenging, because they, you know, the music, it was like smaller, smaller, smaller. You have to keep, you know, making, you have to express, like, you know, they say to toddlers when they're beating up on each other, you know, use your words. For me, with television, I had to use my music to express certain emotions and underscore, you know, the picture and the scene and the script. And that was a challenge. It was difficult sometimes, because I had so little time to do it.
Sam Phillips is our guest, and what's next?
This is called Signal. Eric's playing the Stroh violin today. If you're wondering if you're something's wrong with your radio, no, it's the Stroh violin, which is a violin that comes through a Victrola horn. There's a Victrola horn attached to it, so don't adjust your set.
Now, is this something of Eric's invention, or is this...
No, this was created at the turn of the century, when there was a lack of amplification, proper amplification. So this got the violin above the band.
This is how the string section got to rule. I see. Okay.
They did it with tricks. Yeah.
Signal. dark at night. And now they stay dark when it's light. You passed me the map under the table. I gave you who I am in secret. Looking for a signal.
And that is Signal, another one from Don't Do Anything, the new Sam Phillips album. Sam's playing live for us today. Where does that song come from? Where is that?
I think it's what we were talking about before. I think it's the constant search, you know, for clues, for meaning, for love, for life, art.
And presented with a little intrigue, though, which I think is interesting. We have time for one more. What would you like to finish up with?
This is called No Explanations.
I thought if he understood, he wouldn't treat me this way. No explanations, no more explanations. She looked me over and over and couldn't locate me. No explanations, no more explanations.
No Explanations, finishing up our World Cafe session with Sam Phillips. Her new album, Don't Do Anything, is on Nonesuch. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and XPN.org. To hear Sam Phillips' appearance on the World Cafe in its entirety, visit worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for joining me.